Now let us turn to Psalm 119 and consider again verse 111. Psalm 119 and verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And I return this evening to the verse that we were trying to consider on New Year's Day, when in addition to the clearly personal confession that we have here, I spent a fair bit of time applying the same idea to the responsibility of churches to take and keep the testimonies of God as a heritage or a possession. Now, I'm not going to go any further along these lines just now, but just to focus on what is said by the psalmist as his own confession in relation to the testimonies of God. And this word suggests to us, the word testimonies, it suggests to us that the testimony, the word of God as a testimony from God, God bearing witness to us concerning any of the various things that he tells us about through those who wrote the scriptures, what he tells us about in his own word. It was God's testimony, just to mention, God's testimony through Moses that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's testimony from God. So we can rely on it. We can be sure about it. But let us think of this testimony at the end of Isaiah 54, where the word speaks to, yes, the church of God, but speaks to all the people of God. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now notice this. This is the heritage, or this is the inheritance. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. That's our text, part of it. And in Isaiah 54, we are finding this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their possession. God has given it to them, so they possess it. Now you see, the verse I'm quoting speaks of weapons, speaks of tongues rising against the people of God in judgment, judging them. And what's the basis for the judgment? Well, no doubt there's many an error in the judgment, and there's many falsehood in that kind of judgment. And many a false presupposition, supposing something about the people of God, about the church of God, and we can trace the hand of Satan. That was mentioned in prayer. And if we are thinking of Satan and his wicked work and his work against the people of God, where are we to go to? Oh, well, there's our testimony. The word of God bears testimony. It says this about the situation of the people of God. And the psalmist say, thy testimonies have I taken, it's an heritage forever. They're my possession as a child of God, he is saying. My possession, he says. I've taken them. And what does he rest on? Well, it's likely he lived before Isaiah, one would imagine. But he would have this understanding anyway. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It will not prosper ultimately. It will not damage the child of God, at least at the end of the day. Oh, Satan has done great damage to various individuals. He came with his weapons of temptation against Peter, for instance. And he got him down. But no doubt you can say this, that in the long run, Peter was the better of having the temptation. Now, of course, you're not to apply that to carelessness about temptation. What is in my mind in saying that is, all things work together for good. The temptation in itself did him damage. But if you bring together, or you follow it, by the grace of God in restoring Peter, and Peter being brought to recognize his weakness. Here you have the testimony of God. These things will not do me permanent harm. And yet, you think of David. And all I want to say about David is the difficulties he had to pass through because of his sin. But David got to the end of his days, and David got to heaven. And David was rejoicing in the covenant of grace. And you see, the people of God can go back to what David was saying in his last days, when he was speaking about the covenant. He had taken the covenant, we might say, as an heritage forever. And it was the rejoicing of his heart. But, you see, he came to this. Although my house be not so with God, he has drawn a picture of how the ruler in Israel should be wise and ruling in the fear of God, and every ruler, that is truth. That's the testimony of God. He is saying to judges and kings, kiss the Son. Of course, he's saying it to us all, but he's saying it to kings in particular. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. There's your testimony here. Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's what he say. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He is able to deliver. Whatever the schemes of Satan and those who are doing his evil work to stir up trouble. To stir up trouble from Christ's enemies, the friends of Satan. But it may be stirring up trouble between brethren. But at the end of the day, this is to be true. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. But let me emphasize the need to be pleading with God, to be, well, you can use the expression, a wall of defense about it, so that we would not stumble, so that we would not succumb to temptation. And there you have in the Lord's Prayer a suitable petition to use in relation to these things. Lead us not into temptation. He is able to keep us. I think I quoted, I'm sure I quoted recently, the words of Paul about what he had committed to the Lord against the day of judgment. He had committed his soul. So you see, we're to ask to be delivered from temptation, and we're to ask that our souls would be in the care of the Lord, so that we would not have to answer for further sins on that day, the day of judgment. Yes. We are poor, we are needy, we are weak, we are feeble. But you see, how great is the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store. The goodness God keeps in store for those who love, for those who fear. You see, there's an endless provision. And I go back to the idea that I've used often about the storehouses in Egypt, how full they were. And I'm sure when the famine was over and a new year's harvest was available, the storehouses under Joseph's care had not run out of supplies. There might have been very, very little left. I don't know. All I'm saying is, there was never a day until another year's provision was able to grow. There was never a year and never a day at the end of the last year when there was nothing left to give, where a party from Canaan, as his brothers had come, when such a party would come to Joseph, and he would have to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing left. And they would have to go away hungry. And it's that way with the storehouses of the Joseph of the New Testament, treasures in heaven. And there's not a sinner that will come pleading for the goodness of Christ to be shown to it. Never a sinner will come and find that there's nothing left. Even on the last day in which this world will be in existence. And it's different here, of course. Joseph's storehouses are just an illustration. On the other hand, the treasures in heaven, they never diminish. They are always full. It's an infinite provision, you see. And that's the testimony we have in the Word of God. And no wonder the psalmist is saying, I've taken them as a heritage and a possession for heaven. What right has he to say that? What's this? He has trusted in the one that was to come and who was to bruise the head of Satan. If Satan was not restrained, what power he would be exerted. He would hold on to every last sinner. But you see, there's this aspect to it as well, that there's a stronger than the strong man art. There's a stronger than Satan, infinitely stronger. Yes, a stronger than the strong man are. There's a restraint, even when we might consider this generation to be so wicked and Satan to have so much power, as if he was being let loose to destroy the nations. He's still under restraint. Not, of course, a complete restraint. Not, of course, to the extent that he was restrained in better days in the past. Not, of course, as it will be when Satan will be chained up for 1,000 years. Or we might understand that as some very long period of time. You see, Satan restrained. Even in the worst of times. And no wonder the psalmist would say, or somebody singing the Psalms of David and singing any of the Psalms, some more relevant to this than others, that they sing of the reviving of the Lord's cause. They sing of the blessings that are yet to be poured out on the earth. And they say, they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have taken them as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicings of my heart. And you see, that's what we're being commanded to do. That's what we've been directed to do. Whatever our situation is, personally, or our concerns about others, in our family, for instance, concerns about friends who are not well, or feeling the infirmities of old age, feeling the difficulties experienced through bereavement, and people feeling the weakness of the cause of Christ. But you see, there's much to encourage in the Word of God. I was going to say endless promises. That's not literally true. But what's contained in the promises, it's endless. What blessings are set before us. And we can think of all these intimations of God's goodwill towards sinners and God's goodwill to his people. Sinners who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and who have received the promises, these endless speaking in that way, these promises which speak of what is endless, endless blessedness in heaven, endless power, endless grace in the treasures in heaven, to deliver the godly out of temptation, to deliver the godly out of all their various troubles. And the great encouragements that there are for the people of God, great encouragements. And I might just mention this testimony, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's recorded in the Word of God as the testimony of wicked men. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It was said with malice. They wouldn't eat with sinners. They wouldn't spend time in the company of the openly ungodly. And yet, they were such hypocrites. They were doing what wasn't according to what is called the new commandment, to love one another. Yes, and that's very much what is in the parable of the Good Samaritan. But, you see, when that statement has been put in the Word of God, it's one of the testimonies. It started off in the mind of ungodly men. But there it is. And it's set before us for us to take encouragement. It's set before us for those outside the kingdom to take encouragement to come to Christ. You see, one of Satan's temptations will be, you're too much of a sinner. Christ will not receive you. But here is testimony in the Word of God. Ignore its origin in the minds and mouths of scribes and Pharisees. Ignore that. But pay full attention to the fact that it is there in the Word of God. Pay full attention to that. Receive that. You are outside the kingdom of God. Don't be put off from coming to Christ. Don't receive the testimony of Satan. He'll not receive you. But take this. This man does. This man on the throne of glory, he receives sinners. This man with divine power, this man who can send the Holy Spirit, he receives sinners and eateth with them. Will I turn to Revelation chapter 3, what is said to the church in Laodicea, who were in such a terrible situation, how far they had backslidden. He says, does Christ, these are epistles from Christ through John, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's a testimony. Testimony from Christ to sinners today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Yes. There's plenty of encouragement there. Well, God's testimonies, and I was referring to the everlasting covenant and David casting himself upon the promises, the whole extent of the promises in the everlasting covenant. He says, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and shewed, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. All my salvation and all my desire. You got the two things. He is saving me. He is delivering me from my sins and from my bad desires. And yet, this is my desire, that I would have the blessings of the everlasting covenant. And that secures the safety of God's children as they go through this world. And that secures the safety of God's children as they reach the door or the gate into eternity. They will get safely to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's ambassador, so to say, is these two who had been thrown into jail in Philippi. As they said, is this man who had been rough with them, it would seem. But no, they'll not reward evil with evil, but contrarywise a blessing. What a blessing they got through these words. And the Lord may bring sinners into the kingdom through particular words being applied to their souls, and some may be able to recall the blessing that they got through particular words such as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's others of God's children who do not remember what words were first used to draw them into the kingdom. That's not the main point we are to consider, but it's this: have we evidence that I am now in the kingdom of God? Have I evidence? Are my desires such that they indicate to me that I have passed from death into life? That I have some living desires, desires which could not be put into my soul in any other way but through the Holy Spirit working within, bringing the soul through the new birth, a new creation, you see, a new beginning. And we've got testimony about that. The Lord is gracious. We're not in the condition that Noah was in. He had a revelation. He got testimony from God. But what I'm referring to, and I could have taken other examples from the Old Testament, and especially from the period when there was no written word, before the time of Moses, yet God had given a revelation. In particular, a revelation of the coming of the seed of the woman who would bruise the Savior's head. People like Noah were resting their souls on such testimonies. Yes. And we have the further testimony that Christ has come. We have the testimony that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And are we laying hold on these testimonies and the testimony that Peter gave of himself which again is preserved in the word of God as testimony for us. To whom shall we go? Thou, Jesus, thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, may the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray.